grab some popcorn and a favorite chair. The love of movies is why we're here. Press play and don't delay. Let Phil be our guide to a cinematic day. Phil at the movies, from the silver screen to his podcast stream. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies. Phil at the movies.
Well, up, up and away. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Phil at the Movies. As usual, I'm Phil, your faithful movie host, and I'm delighted to have you tuning in for today's show. Not only is this number 172 of this ongoing podcast that is, you guessed it, For the Love of Movies, today is the day, ladies and gentlemen, the summer of Superman arrives. The much-anticipated, long-awaited return of Superman on the big screen is here at last. The Man of Steel flies to the big screen nationwide beginning today. I was fortunate enough to catch an early screening this past Tuesday, and today I am going to share with you my thoughts and reaction to the new film starring David Corenswet and directed by James Gunn. Now, I will put out a quick disclaimer at the start of today's episode. I will be mentioning a few spoilers, so if you want to savor the experience and if you were planning to see the film at some point, totally understand if you want to step away from the podcast and return after you've had a chance to see the film. Again, not going to go into too great a detail on plot by plot points, but just as a fair warning, I may mention some spoilers in this review today, because as you might imagine, anyone who's been listening to the show for quite some time knows, I have thoughts when it comes to Superman, specifically Superman on film. But before I begin with that review today, before the review takes flight, if you will, let me take this opportunity again to say thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you could be so kind to rate and review this podcast on Apple, helps a great deal with growing the podcast, getting us into more ears as possible. That's not as unpleasant as it sounds, I mind you. But in any event, in all seriousness, if you could share this podcast with your friends, your family, anybody who you think needs a fellow movie buff, or as I've been called, an insufferable film bro, in their life to spread the word about their love of cinema and movies in general, this is the podcast for them. In addition, wanted to say again, this would not be possible without you, the listeners, you, the friends of this podcast. Again, 172 episodes and going strong. I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. And I want to also say thank you to everyone who chimed in on Twitter and the like with their comments and thoughts on their favorite films of the year so far. And I love seeing such a wide array of films. There was some overlap. I saw a lot of Sinners, as expected, a lot of Ballerina, F1, but there were other films as well. The Life of Chuck popped up a few times, and I'm actually sad to say I have yet to see that film, but it has been hard to catch a showing at my theater, so I'm hoping there'll be an opportunity maybe in the next week or so, certainly before it hits the streaming platforms, because I have really been looking forward to this film. It's from director Mike Flanagan, and it just promises to be a life-affirming spectacle. It's actually based on a story by Stephen King, but it's not the typical horror fare. So that kind of piqued my interest from the get-go. And then again, bringing in Mike Flanagan, who is, you know, most noted for his direction and work in the horror genre, to sort of be putting his signature on this film. I'm really looking forward to catching it at some point, hopefully soon. But again, thank you to everyone who shared their thoughts and opinions on your favorite films of the year so far. Again, 2025 rolling right along. And of course, now here with Superman, this is arguably for many people, their most anticipated film of the year. Certainly with the stakes facing this film, it's not only the return of Superman to the big screen in a solo adaptation. This is the first solo Superman film since 2013. He did, of course, appear in the 2017 Justice League film, the much maligned and rightfully so Justice League film. And then, of course, there was the Zack Snyder's version of Justice League that came out in 2021, I believe. But this is the first time that we are getting a solo Superman on the big screen since Man of Steel. And much like that, Superman is a reinvention, a reinterpretation of the character for a new age, for a modern audience. So, yeah, a lot of hype, a lot of anticipation for this film. Again, not only just because it's the return of Superman, because this film promises the kickoff to a new cinematic universe, not too dissimilar to the works of Marvel or even what DC attempted to do a decade plus ago. But here we go. This is a sort of a wiping of the slate, a clean board, if you will. And Superman is meant to be the first of many, many films that are already in the pipeline. There's a Supergirl film coming out next year, as well as a Clayface film in a few months after that. So again, the wheels are turning when it comes to this new cinematic universe. But all eyes, rightfully so, are on Superman. And as you might expect, anyone who's listened to this show from the beginning, and or particularly over the last few weeks where I have done some Superman-centric episodes, knows that I have a lot of thoughts when it comes to Superman. I make no secret that I am a Batman guy first and foremost. And when it comes to Superman on film, I tend to be much pickier when it comes to interpretations of the character and the style and ultimate tone of the film. But I have sort of set the table, if you will. Let's see if this film takes flight. Here is my review of Superman. When Superman gets drawn into conflicts at home and abroad, his actions are questioned, giving tech billionaire Lex Luthor the opportunity to get rid of the Man of Steel once and for all. Will intrepid reporter Lois Lane and Superman's four-legged companion Krypto be able to help him before it's too late? That is the premise. Those are the stakes for the new Superman film, written and directed by James Gunn, starring David Corenswet as the title character, also starring Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane and Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. So as you know, right off the bat, no pun intended, I'd much rather be taking a trip to Gotham City than Metropolis, but putting aside my bias, I went into this film with an open mind and was really looking for a good time at the movies. And again, I never understand this idea of people that want to go into a movie and immediately find something wrong with it. Even though I'm not a fan of Superman on film, I still want to be entertained. I want to be carried away by a movie. And indeed, I was carried away by this film, but not in the way that I think the movie might have intended. Now, as I've said, when it comes to Superman on film, it's tricky for me. I'm picky. But I can concede that my opinion on this movie is in the minority. And that's okay. That is okay. That's the beauty of movies. We can all have our own reaction and take on something. Art is meant to be subjective, and that's a good thing. I will just say, and I say this as an aside, I love seeing that people are loving this movie. And regardless of my feelings about the film and its quality, it is likely to do quite well this weekend at the box office. That fact, coming on the heels of Jurassic World from a week ago, setting up Fantastic Four in just a few weeks, that all bodes well for the theatrical experience. And as somebody who values and loves the movie theater and loves going to the theater to see a film, regardless of how I feel about a film's quality necessarily, it doing well ends up helping the theatrical experience and prolonging its lifespan and longevity. So there's a silver lining, if you will, that I can pull from all of this, because when it comes to this movie, let's look up, or rather look at it. Again, much anticipated, long-awaited kickstart to this new cinematic universe for DC on film. And it's an ambitious movie. It's an ambitious movie to a fault. And it resembles a comic book. Now, you might think, well, that makes sense. It's based on a comic book character. And yes, in the literal sense, of course. But the way this film is structured, both in terms of its story or lack thereof and imagery, it's almost playing out as if we're reading a comic book panel. And that works if you're reading something. I don't think it works well in the movie realm. The film, by that decision, by that creative choice, takes on an almost episodic quality rather than having a cohesive narrative. That's why I sort of say there really isn't much of a story to this film. Now, there are some entertaining moments, but it never quite packs a punch. And for me, I never could become invested or engaged in the story because it's just a lot of spectacle and a lot of pop, but no circumstance. And to me, I love a roller coaster as much as the next guy, but this felt like a roller coaster ride that wouldn't stop. Even some of the action sequences, which were, you know, some were very well choreographed and well structured, they tended to go on and on. It kind of added to that amusement park quality. It almost felt like an overindulgence on cotton candy after a while. And I was like, all right, I think the pacing needs to slow down here, because there's just this propulsion of images from shot to shot. And a lot of times I found myself sort of saying, what the hell is going on? I just couldn't follow what was going on in front of me, to say nothing of sort of the story being all over the place. Now, on the plus side, David Corn Sweat is perfect in this film. He is Superman for the modern age. I think just based on his charisma and charm, he is going to be the Superman for a new generation. And he's great in this movie. As sort of the iconography, if you were to take him and put him in the middle of Times Square, if you will, you would say, yeah, that guy is Superman. And in a lot of ways, there is a Christopher Reeve comparison, not in terms of an impersonation, but in the same way that I have critiqued the first Superman movie of not living up to the talents of Christopher Reeve, I feel that's the same thing going on here with David Corn Sweat. Corn Sweat's a great actor, and certainly he is able to do a lot of Superman moments, if you will, sort of the Boy Scout routine, the aw shucks vibe, saving defenseless animals and bystanders from certain disaster, the typical Superman tropes in heroics
that we've come to associate with the character. He's very good at doing that. And again, just sort of look and presence, it's what you would expect for and from Superman. I only wish the story was there to elevate him and kind of give us something more to root for, because again, his timing is great. He has a natural charisma and charm. And again, I think that can also be said of Rachel Brosnahan, who really does her best with Lois Lane. Again, the script is not really there to sort of give her all that she might need. But again, just in terms of embodying these now truly iconic, mythic characters almost, Superman and Lois Lane, there is definitely a lot to say about that. And again, she has a natural star quality and presence that's there whenever she is on screen, even when the script and story are not. And while it is not properly developed, there are romantic moments between Clark and Lois, because, spoiler alert, she knows who he is in the film. It's already established that she knows who Superman is, and they're in a relationship together while keeping it a secret from everybody else. Again, there's some tender moments between the two of them. There's a scene that takes place in her apartment early on, which, again, does have some interesting story beats. But again, the problem here is the story either is not there, or the script is sort of flimsy, or it just takes these moments and turns it into either a joke or just sort of coast on vibes. And that's what a lot of it felt like, particularly even with the Superman and Lois moments. It just felt like we're just coasting on the idea that these two iconic characters are here plunked in the scene and kind of letting the iconography take care of the rest, sort of making up for the fact that there is no story. And that, to me, is the real problem with this film. And it all stems from the script. I don't think the script serves this film particularly well. The movie never commits to a central idea, much less a tone. And that was another jarring aspect for it. It's all over the place. Is this a fun, campy comic book movie? Is it a musing on heroics? Is it a sci-fi spectacle? The answer is yes to all of the above. The problem is there's so much going on and so many moments sort of running together. Again, it's almost an explosion of both comic book tropes and comic book images, throwing in sort of a heroic moment here, a talk with Pa Kent there, that the movie never quite decides what exactly it wants to be. And unlike, I think, of a lot of other successful comic book films, I'm not going to say what you might be thinking I'm going to say. I think of like the first Spider-Man film, or even the second Spider-Man film, which sort of blends the idea of both a fun comic book movie, but also with a serious bit of melodrama as well. All these elements are here in this film, but they are so discombobulated and out of place. You never quite know what is going on. And I kind of, you know, felt just overwhelmed by just the sheer magnitude of what was there. It kind of felt like a kitchen sink approach. And I think the story and the movie itself would have been better served by just committing either to a central theme and idea, or just finding a way at least to blend it all together. Again, that's where I go back to sort of the episodic quality to the film. A lot of things just sort of happen. It's almost as if you're watching or reading a comic book panel, and you get to the end of the page and then it stops, and then boom, it's on to the next thing. And again, trying to piece it all together is quite frustrating. And again, it's a shame, because as I said, Cornsweet and Brosnahan are perfectly cast in this film. They have great chemistry, and it's a shame that the script really lets them down, because again, they're both accomplished and great actors, and to not have a script worthy of your talents is just a travesty in its own right. Again, the film tries to explore some themes of heroism and villainy, but it never allows those ideas to take hold. And I think that's again the flaw of James Gunn here. He's trying so many different ideas that nothing really ever sticks, and then when he tries to inject a bit of seriousness or gravitas, it almost plays as like a post-it note. It's very underwhelming and kind of quick and to the point. And it seems like he's much more interested in just sort of showing us overt and decadent spectacle. And that's a shame, because it sacrifices a lot of meaningful character moments or even narrative payoff. And as a result of those choices, I never felt like there was any particular stakes in this film. It felt stakeless. And again, that's sort of, I suppose, part and parcel for a film centering around a guy called Superman. But at the same time, you know, you have to sort of raise the threat level, if you will, or try to inject a subversion of the expectations in a way that both feels fresh and relevant, as opposed to just sort of, well, you know, hey, look, let's do this or let's do that. Again, even a lot of the sort of the more critical moments in the film, particularly when Corin Sweat as Superman is confronting Lex Luthor, or even Luthor is musing about his machinations, they almost play off as abridged TED Talks. And again, we're just left sort of scratching our head saying, was that supposed to mean something, or are we just sort of passing time until we can get to the next moment or spectacle or what have you. And that brings me to the villain of it all, because, I mean, a hero is only as good as their villain. And of course, when you're talking about Superman and an arch villain, Lex Luthor, like the Joker to Batman, is the guy you're going to be talking about here. And Nicholas Hoult plays the evil bald billionaire, but sadly, it was nothing more than a one-note performance. And frankly, it was disappointing, because Nicholas Hoult is an actor who continues to impress me in every film I've seen him in. And I was really looking forward to seeing what he could do with the character that was different from Gene Hackman or Jesse Eisenberg. And what it ends up coming across as is almost a dime store version of Gene Hackman. It's a very uninspired take on Lex Luthor. It's one note, pretty much boiled down to this whole idea of, quote, I hate Superman because the story says so. Like, he's just sort of this evil guy, but we never have any real purpose or understanding of why he is doing the things he's doing. He's just sort of a one-trick pony. And as somebody who, again, has made critiques about the first Superman film, there's a lot of similarities in this particular one in terms of the characterization of Lex Luthor. And even though it's somewhat different, the themes are quite similar. In the original Superman movie, Lex Luthor is plotting basically a real estate scheme to try and take over the state of California. And that's essentially happening here, but instead of it being a state, Lex Luthor is trying to take over a small country. So there's a lot of like, okay, we're just doing a lot of interesting callbacks to the 1978 Superman film, which again, it is a choice. But yeah, I was very let down by Hoult's performance, because I really thought he could bring something different and unique to the Luthor character, but it ended up just being a one-note bad guy that had, frankly, you know, there's nothing memorable from his performance, which is a shame, because Hoult is a great actor. But it being, again, I think it probably more comes down to the script. And I think of all the actors, he was the one who was most hindered by the script or the lack thereof. Now, the film itself, as I said, the tagline is "Look up," but as I indicated many times, I found myself looking around and feeling almost out of breath and just in a jarring place because there was just so much happening. Again, it's a flooding of images, and even the action scenes, which there's a few of them that are interesting. There's a moment where Superman is fighting Ultraman, who I will say it. Spoiler alert: Ultraman is a clone of Superman. So there's definitely, again, a lot of people speculated that, but there you have your answer. That Ultraman is a clone of Superman created by Lex Luthor. So they actually have a very interesting and compelling fight. But again, a lot of it is just very, you know, just flashing images and explosions and fist and a lot of stuff just flying around. And it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And this is where I felt a lot of, if you're a fan of James Gunn, I get how it works for you. But as someone who, James Gunn is probably not my cup of tea when it comes to directors, he does tend to slip into old habits. And a lot of his reliance on humor that just either undercuts a serious moment or just felt forced and out of place, that's on full display here, as well as his overuse of animals. Again, he's sort of made that his cottage industry in his movies of creating some sort of animal for the audience to latch onto and identify with. And that happens at nauseam in this film. And yes, I know I'll be criticized for this, but I am looking at you, Crypto the Superdog. Yes, Crypto is a major focal point of this film. The dog is unruly. He's untrainable. He is a flying superpower dog, which again, I thought was clever. You know, it was a different thing we hadn't seen before. But it was a shtick that ran, that got old very, very quickly, because it's just the same thing of just Crypto acting like an unruly dog, which, I mean, yes, any of us who have had an unruly dog or had trouble training a dog, you know, can certainly relate, but at the same time, it goes on a little too much. And I sort of compare this to the Grogu or the quote Baby Yoda fication of movies, where there's a lot of this need to inject either a small animal or some kind of a small creature as a crowd pleaser and a moment to sort of, like, you know, oh, you know, let's have an awe and isn't that wonderful, and, you know, I'm sure it's designed to sell toys on some level, but it's a trope that it definitely is worn thin in my eyes, but that's a, you know, probably a much more critical nitpick that, you know, people may take issue with, but I'm sorry, the Crypto stuff was fine at first, but it does wear thin after a while, particularly when it just becomes almost a recurring joke in the film, and it's like, all right, it was funny the first time, it's not funny 50 times later, but I digress. And that is sort of another issue with this film, and something that I was a little bit concerned about just from the trailers, and that there's too many characters. For a film that is just under 2 hours, there's a lot happening, and there's so many side quests and side plots and characters popping in and out. I mean, I understand that we are thrown headfirst into this universe. This is a world of heroes and metahumans, which, on the one hand, I give it props for establishing a lived-in quality to the world. That's something that has not been done in a DC movie quite in this fashion. But at the same time, it's hardly groundbreaking in the modern-day superhero movie. It's been going on for years and years. But in this particular setting, the introduction of so many characters, whether it's Green Lantern or Hawkgirl or Mr. Terrific, there's almost a Saturday morning feel to it, almost conjures up my feelings of the Super Friends animated TV show from back in the day. And on the one hand, I guess that would be fine if the movie was called Superman and Friends, but it's not. The film is called Superman. And despite all of these, heroes running around and even an awkward cameo by, spoiler alert, Supergirl at the end of the film, again, clearly just there to set up her movie, which is coming next year, at points, and I was, again, concerned about this, Superman felt like a supporting character in his own movie. And again, for a film called Superman, the spotlight should be on him. And again, that inclusion of too many characters just sort of enhances the idea that I have been talking about of this film having an episodic quality. Scenes stitched together rather than flow naturally. The vibe is reminiscent, like I said, of either a comic book panel or even a newspaper comic strip. You know, you think of the old ones in the newspaper, you know, what's a newspaper these days? But, you know, you painting a picture, colorful panels. And yet, you know, you would read a single strip, whether it was, Garfield or what have you. Again, I'm really, really reaching back into the memory box here. But, you know, you'd read something and it would either end on a cliffhanger or, you know, it would be, you know, resolved in the next panel or just move on entirely. And that's kind of what it feels like watching this movie. Many of the threads are left either untied and all over the place, or they're hastily knotted together before quickly shifting and jumping to the next scene. And again, that's goes back to that additional point that I made, where the film is ambitious to a fault. And again, whether it's this hangover from past world building attempts to maybe even the fact that there is some soft comic book movie fatigue out there, all of the parts, if you will, the sum of these parts weigh Superman down rather than lifting him up. That's why, again, I think the film, it tries to take flight, but there's just too much going on. There's too many ideas, too many tonal shifts. And probably my biggest critique with this film, and again, this is really, I think it's a make or break for some people. The movie wears its influences from the Richard Donner 1978 Superman film on its sleeve. It's very much in the shadow of that film to a dizzying effect, that sometimes the movie waffles between either paying homage or just simply remaking the film for modern audiences. I mean, again, I made that point back to the Lex Luthor real estate scheme, or in this case, it's a stealing a country scheme. Like, again, moments like that, even the Boy Scout routine from Superman is very reminiscent of that original Superman film. And again, if that is your take on Superman, if that's what you like about Superman, fantastic, because you're going to get it in this movie tenfold. But again, if you're not of that particular persuasion when it comes to Superman, it does sort of feel just like a kind of a carbon copy of the previous film, just sort of updated for the 21st century. And again, that is sort of my feeling when I look at films like, you know, some of the Spider-Man reboots or Batman, of course. There's always been an attempt to innovate and reinvent the character and make them relevant again. And to me, this just felt like Superman is just coasting on what has come before. I mean, again, cue the watered down John Williams Superman theme to tie it all together. The film never really has an identity of its own. And again, I think of some of the other Superman films in recent years, whether we're going back to Man of Steel or even Superman Returns from almost 20 years ago, those movies had an identity. They had an idea that they were trying to get across. And this movie, I think, wants to ask some questions like, what is the purpose of Superman? Is he an alien sent from another planet to lord over humanity? Is he a rogue metahuman? Is he this big blue Boy Scout, or is he like us, flawed and human after all? And these questions cobbled together a few platitudes here and there. And yes, there is a speech by Pa Kent, but the movie fails in my eyes to make Superman central and relevant again. He is here, but again, to what end? Again, iconography wise, yes, looks like Superman, acts like Superman, but again, what's the goal? What is the purpose? And I never felt that the film either answered that question or even asked it at all. It just more or less relies on exciting imagery and a lot of jokes and a little bit of romance here and there to sort of tie it all together, rather than giving us something coherent and strong to sink our teeth into. And again, that's where I go back to Corin Sweat as an actor deserves a script that is worthy of his talents that will allow his version of Superman to just take flight and soar. Now, this is the first of what is expected to be a new cinematic universe. As I said, Supergirl is coming out next year. There's a few other TV shows in the pipeline. There's a Clayface movie in the works. There is some new version of Batman in addition to the Matt Reeves, Robert Pattinson version. So there's definitely a lot going on in this particular world that's been created because of this film. And I have to say, and I don't like saying this, but it really does give me tremendous pause. And rather than looking up or even looking forward, I almost am looking away. Because if this is the blueprint for this universe, and this is the blueprint for future films, I gotta say, I have serious reservations from the start. And I would not want to see this type of film replicated again and again. I mean, I don't think it's possible, because I think ultimately it wears itself out, because audiences would grow tired of it. But I have a lot of skepticism about this universe at this particular juncture. I'll just say as an aside, as someone who for a long time toyed, with the idea of, wouldn't it be cool if the Batman universe was somehow to merge with this new DC world? After seeing this film, I am very confident in my feeling that, yeah, these movies should never coexist. The Batman is in its own world. Superman here is in a totally different one. Tonally, these are different kinds of movies, and I don't think it would work now, having seen the finished product. But I am curious what you think about this film. Somebody asked me, what I rate it on a scale of 1 to 5, and it's a 2.5 out of 5. So, I mean, again, this is not a film that I have a need to revisit anytime soon. Again, I didn't have really any expectations going into it other than to just be entertained, and ultimately it just sort of left me more or less scratching my head and feeling a headache coming on than anything else. But as I've said, I can concede that I am in the minority opinion for this film. The response to it from critics and fans is overwhelmingly positive. And I will say, as an observer, I went to a fan screening of this film earlier in the week. So this was a room full of Superman fans. I will say I was there in my Batman Returns t-shirt. So, you know, representing the home team right there. But I mean, all kidding aside, there was tremendous reaction from the audience. There was a lot of bright eyes and smiles across all the faces, young and old. So clearly this movie worked for the majority, and that's perfectly fine. And that, again, that was a wonderful thing to see. Even though I did not enjoy this film, it didn't work for me, I am glad that it is working for other people. As I said at the start, that is the beauty of movies. That's the beauty of art. It is subjective. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, a remarkable and unifying fact that, yes, makes us human after all. So there we go. My thoughts on Superman. This will be the last time, I think, for now that you will hear me talk about a Superman film, but wanted to share with you my unvarnished opinion on the new film. Let me know, have you seen Superman? What do you think of it? Did this film soar for you, or did it stay grounded like it did for me? Let me know online. Let me know in the comments. That does it for today, everybody. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to the show. I'll be back next week where we will do this all over again for the love of movies.
Makes every movie